Up next, if you're the tinkering type, hanging out in the garage, building dune buggies or programming robots, it may be time to up the ante because the government's ready to dish out millions of dollars for your techie innovations. Think you can launch two small satellites into Earth orbit in a week's time? The government doesn't care how you do it. You can win big money, as Monty Hall used to say, a cool $2 million if you show the government how to do it. Or maybe you're the more Edison type. If light bulbs are your thing, there's a $10 million ransom out there for an energy-saving light bulb to replace today's 60-watt incandescents. There are a lot of other things to do. There's even a cooking challenge, and it's all at the new website challenge.gov. So what do you want to see? Well, you want a prize for something, or maybe you're already working on one of them? Give us a call. Our number 1-800-989-8255. You can tweet us at SciFry, at SCI. FRI. Let me introduce my guest. Tom Khalil is Deputy Director for Policy at the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy in Washington. He joins us by phone. Welcome back to Science Friday.
Great to be back.
How many different prizes do you have up there?
Oh, we've got over 30 at this point.
30. And which is the most popular? Can you keep track of them?
Well, we can keep track of who's following them and who's favorited them, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the prizes are attracting a great deal of attention. One agency that has done a particularly good job in this area is NASA. They've had a number of prizes and challenges that have generated entries from over thousands of people.
And they have one about getting a very small satellite up into orbit twice in 2 weeks, correct?
That's right. The idea is to have a system that's capable of launching a very small satellite called a CubeSat that is used by university researchers and others for a wide range of applications, including earthquake research.
And why do we want the general public to do this? Why are we paying them and not doing these things ourselves?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons why the government is interested in prizes and why you're also seeing a number of leading philanthropists and companies interested in prizes.
Mm-hmm.
I think prizes allow you to establish a goal without having to pick the team or the approach that is most likely to be successful. You can pay only for results. That is, by definition, you're not paying someone unless they actually achieve the goal that you set forth. In many instances, you're able to leverage a private sector investment that is many times greater than the size of the prize. And I think in some ways, most importantly, you can tap expertise from individuals, inventors, and small businesses that would ordinarily never do business with the government.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has heard of Moore's Law, which is that the number of transistors on an integrated circuit doubles every 18 to 24 months. Another important law is Joy's Law. Bill Joy, from who used to be with Sun Microsystems, and he said, no matter who you are, most of the smartest people work for someone else. And prizes and challenges is
right.
A way of tapping this expertise that you might not know is out there.
Talking with Tom Khalil on Science Friday from NPR. I'm Ira Flatto. What kind of other prizes? You said mostly they are from NASA or space-related, but there's a cooking prize, is there not?
Yeah, that's right. So this is part of the First Lady's First Move, Let's Move campaign, in which she's really interested in the question about how we reduce childhood obesity and how we improve nutrition. The Secretary for Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, announced something called the Recipes for Healthy Kids Challenge. And the idea is to bring together school nutrition professionals, chefs, students, and parents to develop school menus that are nutritious and tasty and that kids will actually eat and that schools can easily incorporate into school menus. Winning teams are going to be invited to prepare their recipes alongside the chefs at the White House.
And how much money is in that prize?
That prize is not a huge amount of money involved, but it's really the sort of honor and prestige associated with the national recognition.
You get to meet the First Lady?
I'm sure you will.
And what happens to the recipe? It gets published for everybody to use and becomes part of our school lunch program?
Yeah, that's right. So actually, We hope that sometime this month we're going to have the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, and other folks award a number of prizes and talk about this the next prize, which we're going to be working on in this area as well.
Mm-hmm. What if a foreign government wants to win the prize? Let's say you have prizes that NASA has going. There are challenges to going to the moon, the satellite. What if India says, "Gee, I could do that. Should I win the prize?"
Yeah. I mean, it really depends on the rules that have been set up. But I think one of the prizes that you're going to be talking about is the Automotive X Prize, although most of the winners were U.S. companies, there was also a very strong Swiss entrant as well. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on what rules you set up.
And who are the judges for all these prizes?
Well, I think a couple things to say about that. One is that in some instances, you can establish rules that are so clear that it's really clear who won the prize. So, for example, one of the first prizes that was won in 2004, I believe, the Ansari X Prize associated with space, the challenge was to build a privately financed spacecraft that could go up 100 kilometers and repeat that within a two-week period. So it was really clear who won and who didn't. So a lot of prizes have that attribute, that there's a really clear finish line.
What if you have two people who can do it? Do they both get the prize?
You know, then in some mechanisms, in some instances, you might share the prize or you might have, some way of determining the tie.
All right. We're going to take a break, come back and talk more with Tom Khalil from the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. Also, we're going to bring on the winner of the Automotive X Prize to talk about his new car design. If you want to get a quick look at it before we talk about it, you can go to our website at sciencefriday.com. And the winning photo, the winning car design is up there on our website at the top right of the page there. And it is unique looking and it is uniquely powered. And I think it we'll talk about it. You might be surprised about exactly how it is powered. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Science Friday from NPR. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking this hour about giving away prizes for development of new technologies. And we were just beginning to talk about the Automotive X Prize, which was given out and awarded this week. And you can see it on our website. And it gets 100 miles per gallon. The winner is the Progressive Insurance Automotive X Prize is a company called Edison 2. It won $5 million for its futuristic four-wheeler called the Very Light Car. And you can see that, as I say, on our website. It's called the Very Light Car because it is a very light car. It took 30 months of construction, rigorous on-road testing, nitpicky business plan analysis. And so why did the Very Light Car beat out all the other space-age designs? How did it get so fuel efficient that's 100 miles per gallon? Here to talk about it is the man of the company who helped design it. Joining me now is Oliver Kuttner. He is CEO of Edison 2 of Lynchburg, Virginia, the creator of the Very Light Car. Welcome to Science Friday.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was looking at your car. It looks very futuristic, and it's very lightweight. It's only 800 pounds. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's 830 pounds, which we believe the production car will probably be 1,000 pounds. And we think that you can't get around the laws of physics. So we are proposing the only way to truly build an efficient car is to make it truly efficient. And the only real way to do that is to make it very low mass and very low aerodynamic drag. And that's the path we pursued.
And it has a sort of gasoline alcohol engine in it, does it not?
It does, but it's really fuel source agnostic. The car could have any. It could be an electric car if it was an electric drive. It would require about half the batteries that a small electric car would require, and because it takes less power to push it.
But the winning car design did have a 250 cubic centimeter combinational, gas alcohol engine in it, sort of like a motorcycle engine.
It was based on a motorcycle engine, and the reason we did it is because it really drives home the force of the efficiency we installed in the car. It's a much more efficient platform than any ever built before. It only takes 3.5 horsepower to push the car at 50 miles per hour, and that's really, it's not an accident. It's because we have really reinvented the car the way it's built. It has a completely different architecture, different suspension systems. The efficiency derives entirely from the platform itself. And it's a total departure from the normal, but with really high promise.
Yeah, and you ran it out at the General Motors test track?
We ran it in the Aero Lab, and it posted the best ever numbers that were performed by a four-seat car at the Aero Lab. I think the people at the Aero Lab truly enjoyed it. The head of the department was on vacation, and he was dropping in for 15 minutes, and he stayed for 10 hours. The car is very well designed, and it breaks new ground. Instead of pressure drag, it's entirely friction drag, and it just glides through the air. Really, the air didn't know it went through by the time it's done. That's the secret to it.
That's the secret. It slices through the air. Did GM show any, since we, the public, own General Motors, I could ask this as a stockholder, did GM show any interest in buying this car, producing it?
I think General Motors the new General Motors is going to turn out to be quite a winning company. Ira, we are designing a new method of building a car. We are found ground up designing new suspension systems with great promise. Consumer Union gave us a 1.18 Gs around skid pad. There are a lot of things, but it's a lot of work that remains to be done. Safety-wise, there's a lot of work that remains to be done. But in the Aero Lab, there's certainly an interest in what we're doing. You know, we are a long way from a production car. I believe there will be a continued friendship that may evolve into some sort of collaboration with General Motors. They are certainly a new company with an open mind, and they are certainly interested in breakthroughs. There are other companies that have been very congratulatory on the engineering level. People really like what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. I thought one of the criteria of the X Prize was that it had to be you could produce this in mass quantities, make this car. It's a production model.
You have to have a plan how to do it. Uh-huh. And our plan is very simple, as opposed to some of the other people who are busy coming up with marketing concepts and distribution systems. We believe that the world is full of companies that know how to produce something in a million copies and know how to distribute it. So we don't need to reinvent that. What we are doing instead is we're going to build a brutally good car. And it's going to take a few more years. But at the other end of this, we believe the car will be so good that someone will step forward and will want to produce it and sell it. Mm. And I'm quite certain that'll happen. Actions speak louder than words.
In this age of hybrid cars, why does yours have an internal combustion engine?
Well, hybrid cars tend to be internal combustion engine. They have a battery supplement system. When the car gets so light, you know, regenerative brakes typically only capture about 30% of the energy that you throw away when you hit the brakes. When a car gets really light, that 30% becomes a relatively small number. One of the really powerful things in this car is that it's very simple. And don't mistake it for low performance, but it is a simple car which gives the promise of an inexpensive car. And an inexpensive green car is really rare. Everybody is talking about moving to electric cars, which are really more expensive and more complicated, and they often just reallocate some of the burdens. In the XPRIZE, this internal combustion engine-powered car posted the lowest greenhouse gas emissions of all the cars that were entered every time.
Mm-hmm. We had a few months ago, it's almost probably a year or so ago, Tom Khalil, we had the team from West Philadelphia, the high school, that entered the X Prize, and they showed off on our show their 60-mile-per-gallon car that they just used off-the-shelf parts on to get 60 miles per gallon. I understand that President Obama gave a little shout-out to them this
week.
That's
right. They got to visit the White House yesterday. It was fantastic timing because the president was announcing something called Change the Equation,
which is a new organization with over 100 CEOs as members who are all prepared to work closely with the administration to get more young boys and girls excited about math and science and technology and engineering, and to move the United States from the middle to the top of the pack over the next decade in terms of our international performance. And at the end of his speech, when he was talking about the importance of doing this, he said, we need no better example than the students who are here today from West Philadelphia High School. And he talked about their participation in the automotive XPRIZE competition and the fantastic progress that they made.
Mm-hmm. Oliver, is there any possibility you could get any stimulus money to help develop this car some more?
We've not gotten any because we're really looking in a place where no one has looked before. You know, people try to do lightweighting programs by taking existing cars and taking weight out, and that really doesn't work. A lot of very, very smart people at great companies have been working on that for a long time. What we're doing is one of those things that no one has thought about. And, you know, earlier you mentioned that prizes don't tell you how to do it, and that's one of the great differences. The XPRIZE didn't tell us how to do it. It only told us what we had to do. And in the process, we reinvented the car. In effect, we've gotten rid of the strut-type suspension. And by doing that, we have a different architecture with lower weight and unprecedented efficiency potential.
Does it pass the safety collision regulations for cars?
Not right now, but I believe that our cars are going to set some new standards in some collisions, and in other collisions they're going to be less advantageous. That it really is where a lot of the work still lies, but it's also the opportunity that still lies, and I think that requires a public-private partnership. I really could see the government getting behind figuring out how to build low-mass cars that are extremely safe. Our technology comes from years and decades of experience in motorsports. We are mainly a motorsports derived group. We have many, many victories in the highest levels of sports car racing, and we design cars which crash, and people walk away from horrific crashes, and we have a lot of knowledge there, and it's really a different approach.
Tom Khalil, once a prize has been awarded, what happens? Does the government actually have plans to do anything with this car or cars that are developed for the Automotive XPRIZE, for example? What role do you guys play in it?
Well, what we've seen in a number of instances is that, you know, when you have a breakthrough like this that is made, that private companies start investing, because what you've really done is to change the beliefs both by the public and the private sector about what's possible. So we certainly saw that XPRIZE, where before the prize, people thought space is for governments. And the prize really succeeded in changing the public perception about what was possible.
Mm-hmm. And so
it's happening in our industry also. We have a lot of money coming our direction.
You do? Yeah. For this car design?
For this car, and we certainly are on our way to become a quite significant company.
And was it because of the XPRIZE that you were able to do this?
It began with the XPRIZE, and now it's in part because of some of the patents we have and some of the technologies and, you know, the validation of the XPRIZE. I mean, the XPRIZE distinguishes us from people who claim to have done something, from people who do it. And, you know, we have astonishingly good numbers in just performance and handling and braking and side impact theoretical crash test calculations. I mean, the numbers we're producing are off the charts, and that's producing interest.
That was another important role that the government played through the Department of Energy and through the EPA, with a collaboration with the XPRIZE Foundation, and particularly the expertise at Argonne National Lab, was to do a lot of the testing and validation.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to see what the XPRIZE looks like, and you can go to our website at sciencefriday.com, see the car up there, and then we'll link you over to the XPRIZE site, and you can see what the specs are for yourself. I'd like to thank my guest, Tom Khalil, Deputy Director for Policy at the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, Oliver Kuttner, who's CEO of Edison 2 in Lynchburg, Virginia, creator of the Very Light Car, which describes itself, and congratulations, Oliver. on winning the
prize. Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking time to be with us today. Have a good
weekend.
You.